Five barley loaves and two fish. What is that amongst so many? Five barley loaves. Now, you're thinking big loaves of bread, right? I was in Walmart the other day. That's where us retired guys go to hang out, Walmart. My life is that exciting. And I was in the bread aisle because I needed bread. Good. And the bread we like is like $3.15 a loaf. It's like a nice multi-grain bread. But I was standing there, and another lady was there, and I struck up a conversation. I know, shocking for me, right, to talk with somebody. And I said, It's a hard choice, isn't it? She said, it certainly is. And on one side of this aisle, you know, and it's not a short 7-Eleven aisle. This is like a Walmart aisle. The whole side is nothing but loaves of bread. And some of those mega loaves that are actually hanging off the shelf, that awesome white bread we used to buy, you know, when we were young parents for 59 cents a loaf. And you bought that because when you went in the kitchen, you know, one of your kids would have made a line of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to go in the other room and watch TV with. A whole aisle of bread. And then across that aisle, of course, are muffins and bagels and all the stuff didn't exist when I was younger. A whole aisle of bread. But what is that amongst so many? Five barley loaves. This wasn't the big mega loaf that we used to get for 59 cents. These are small, think like a big bagel. And two fish. Not the fish that they're holding up in the trophy shots, right? These are like perch, sunfish. So you can see when they looked at that and said, what is that amongst so many? Can you see the contrast? 5,000 men. I'm sorry, the only count of the men in Bible times, I wasn't there. So how many women? At least 5,000. How many children? 5,000? 10,000? Now we're talking a small city. And what is this amongst so many? Jesus is going to have to perform a miracle. Now, the five loaves and two fish might have been enough for what? 10, 15 people? Maybe 20 people to have just a little bite, but there are so many. And who brings the food? One of the disciples. No, it's a small child. Jesus loves children. And he loves to get children involved. Read your Bible. Check me out on this one. Small children. He brings it. And he brings the basics of food. And notice it's not pomegranates or figs or mutton or a side of beef. Not exactly exotic. It's the basics. It's bread and fish. I think you'd be hard-pressed to go any place on the globe where you couldn't get bread and fish. The Lord hears the need of the people. The grumbling stomachs, their need for food. Verses 8 and 9. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, Well, here's a boy with five small loaves and two small fish, but what is that amongst so many? And he looked out on that crowd, 5, 10, 15, maybe 20,000 people who were hungry. Now, how does Andrew know the content of that little boy's grocery sack? Has he been out taking a survey, making a list, checking it twice? looking at inventory to see what people might have to eat, and what do they do with the leftovers? Does the boy get them? Does he at least get his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish back? We don't know about the boy, but we do know that they gathered the leftovers, and I think that's to show that we have part in the kingdom of God. We gather the leftovers. More on that later. Well, it's described as a feast, not just the bare necessities. Everybody eats. It's like a Lutheran potluck, right? All the main courses, all the salads. I hope they had the little 3-bean salad that I love so much. And the desserts. And the teenagers, man, can they eat? They were all there, all fed from this boy, all fed from what the Lord has created. St. John reports that when Jesus asked Philip what to do, Jesus himself knew what he was going to do, right? It means that the Lord was not in doubt about the fate of these people. Now, I'm not so sure that it has to mean that Jesus knew right away about this little boy's bread and fish, that he had x-ray vision, then he looked out and said, oh, this is what I'm going to use. I don't know. I suspect that he proceeds as a reaction to what the disciples say and what Andrew has found, and to his despair. What is that amongst so many? Have you been there in that despair? What is this amongst so much need? You go and you get those test results. They're not good. What is this in my life? What is this against my needs? And you look out at what you have. Is this enough? You look at your paycheck. Is this enough amongst so many? You get hit with something hard in your life. Is my faith enough against so many, against this need, this loss, this turmoil, this heartache, this separation in my life? Is this enough? The Lord shows him that it is so much amongst so many. By grace, it's plenty. In fact, look at the story. It's a feast. It's a feast with leftovers. Jesus gives you leftovers in your life. See, here's the point. The boy is a historical figure. He's also an allegory. The boy is a type of a Christian. The Christian brings their offerings to God. The boy brought his 5 small or oversized bagels and a couple of perch. Say, what can you do with this? Can we do with this? And the Lord multiplies it. And the Christian does the same thing. That mustard seed faith we're always talking about, the Lord multiplies that. What you have, the Lord multiplies that. So often we're just looking 2 minutes away, 5 minutes away, at the end of the day. We don't realize the Lord's in it for the long game. What can he do in our lives? Our lives. Our entire lives. Our children's lives. Our grandchildren's lives. What is this faith amongst so many? It's a faith with leftovers is what it is. The apostles are also historic. They're there, but they're there at the same time, and they're sort of like a full-time servant, sort of like a pastor. And the Lord is not exactly teaching us to share, but he is showing us that we have part in the kingdom. See, the kingdom just doesn't operate out here tangentially. Is that the right word? Sort of operating, okay. Good Lutheran nods, it must be right. Yeah, don't talk during the worship service. sort of tangentially out here, and then here we are spinning in our own orb. It's not like that. We are the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has gathered today in this huddle to be encouraged and to be forgiven in wafer and bread and to be sent out into the world. And you see that contrast from the moment you leave here of being a believer in the kingdom and what the world has to offer. That's what the story is all about. Jesus knows what he is doing in the kingdom of God. He knows what he's going to do. He knows he's going to feed the people. What the disciples say or do, what the disciples hang on to or give away, will determine how Jesus feeds the people. He's reacting with them and working in the kingdom of God. I'm convinced if the boy would have had a flask of wine, it would have been a whole different kind of party. Bring that too. Let's multiply that. Like at the wedding of Cana. Well, if there's a stewardship lesson here, it is not that if we cooperate and share, we're not going to starve. Neither is it that the Lord will multiply back to us what we give. So if we give a dollar, we're going to get $10 back. Put that out of your mind. As far as we know, the boy himself left the meal that day with no leftovers. He got home and his mom said, "What happened with the bread and fish?" He said, "Mom, I've got a story for you." And she looked over her glasses and said, "Really?" He gave away his bread and fish, showing that we too, the only thing we get to keep is that which we give away. You don't just keep your love to yourself, do you? You've got a child, in the middle of the night, they're throwing up over the toilet. Exciting things of being a parent. Take care of it yourself, kid. I'm in bed. You give without thinking. People hurt. You give without thinking. You don't keep that love to yourself. And in return, you only get to keep that which you give away. Your possessions do you no good unless you give them away. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Yeah, it's not enough. Let's move on. They'll take care of themselves. God bless you, brothers. We're moving on. Have the people sit down. The Lord blessed the meal. And they kept distributing and distributing and giving it away. And they got to keep everything. Now the boy didn't make him feel rich or important, did it? They didn't lift him up and carry him around the crowd. He didn't get a little plastic trophy for his participation that day. He might have got a scolding from his mom when he came home and his grocery sack was empty. But if there is a stewardship lesson here, it has to do with the very basics of this account, is that in faith and out of love for neighbor, what we give out does more good than if we keep it. It's just that simple. And what you do in and for the kingdom of God will multiply and bless often in ways that you'll never know this side of heaven. Jesus gives us a choice in these things. The crowd was not lectured about sharing. Hey, everybody, here's a lesson for you today. No wild promises about, you know, the more you give, the more you're going to get back. But the Lord takes what he raises it to his Father in heaven. It is multiplied time and time again to such an astounding amount we can't even fathom it. Feeding a small city on a few bagels and a few small fish. It's an amazing account of what the Lord can do. What is this among so many? Our part in the kingdom of God is significant. Your service to your neighbor, your family, the state, the church is seen and blessed, and again, in many ways you'll never know. He multiplies your prayers. He multiplies your efforts. And that's not even the main point. The miracle, like all miracles in the Bible, are Eucharistic. We pray for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Not because we always need to eat, but it reminds us who the giver is and who the receiver is. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray, and remind us who you are, Lord, and that you're going to give it to us. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but you give it anyway. And the word thanksgiving is the English translation of the word Eucharist. You see how they go together. And apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus, there would be no mercy and no providence and no gifts and no bread. It's only because the Father has reconciled us to himself and his only Son, the sacrifice for our sins, that we are declared righteous, part of the kingdom, and part of that Eucharistic family. The Lord loves us. And the Lord never just gives us bread. He gives us everlasting life. Jesus provides on that mountaintop. And I truly believe there's a strong correlation. Remember when Jesus did not eat bread with the devil? When the devil tempted him? Command these stones to become bread. Jesus didn't do that, but now he eats bread with sinners on a mountainside. He who did not eat when the devil tempted him with bread in the desert now eats with sinners on the side of a mountain, and it's made lush and full with Jesus' presence. The Lord provides. He knows what he will do. What is this amongst so many? More than we can ever imagine. Amen.